Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'adhotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, it is always wonderful to be able to communicate with you live and in living color. This has been a very, very interesting and exciting week, I tell you. Last Saturday, of course, we did announce at Seneca Village the kickoff for phase one for the We Charge Genocide Project. That being the first initiatives in terms of the million signature campaign, Justice Now, million signature campaign. This million signatures campaign is designed to educate, edify, motivate, stimulate the masses of our people. First, to have our people to really understand to a greater extent what human rights is. How is that compared to civil rights? Why do we now say from civil rights to human rights? And why is it so important, particularly right now, that we really do the work that was started at least 50 years ago, that we really push it to the point now where we can really see some kind of advancement. Now, we are very thankful for those who have come before us, specifically Mother Callie House, 1800s, by the way, Queen Mother Moore, Dr. Robert Brock, William Patterson, Paul Robeson, Mario Bedelli, Baba Herman Ferguson, Baba Reedman Battles. I mean, I could go on with names, and certainly Malcolm X. But we, as a people, and I'm not talking about the masses right now, I'm talking about folk who kind of, you know, understand some things and have understood some things for a while. For whatever reason, the ball got dropped. And, you know, we're not going to, you know, continue to just kind of harp on that, but we have to say it because it's true. And we have to be able to make sure that people understand that, because we don't want to see that happen in the future, at least not to the extent that it has happened now. Folks dropped the ball. We were supposed to strive for self-determination, independence, and things of that nature. And what ended up happening, folks got into the system after people fought, by the way. They got into the system, and as a result, they more or less became a part of the system. And so what we realize now is that we have got to make certain that we do not fall into those traps again. And so we want people to know that eyes are not only watching, ears are not only listening, but now we're going to bring it to the attention of our people when, in fact, we see these things happening. For those who are just tuning in, you are in tune live to New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. Tonight's program, we are going to talk about, of course, this is the end of Black August, closing out for Black August. And we're going to give you some updates on a couple of things. Also, we are going to talk with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. very shortly. And we're going to talk with our sister, Gabrielle Nicole, who's going to kind of give you a report on what happened here in Philadelphia, actually, yesterday. Now, today is, of course, the actual day for independence for Trinidad and Tobago. It is their 54th year, I think, of liberation, of independence. So yesterday we did a special announcement, which I'm going to tell you about later, but I want to also, again, reiterate that today is another historical day, and it is this day in 1918, Madam C.J. Walker had her first Beauty Culturalist Convention here in Philadelphia at the Union Baptist Church. Now, for some, that might not really mean much, but it should for all of us, because not only was Madam C.J. Walker a pioneer, a black woman in business, and she was known for saying very clearly she did it on her own terms, in her own way. Now, for me, I definitely admire a sister like that. At any rate, she did do that. Now, oftentimes I've heard misinformation about the straighten and comb thing, and even if that was true for that era, hey. But the point is, and the fact is, she made her own products. That's what really propelled her into international acclaim, making her own products. So with that said, tonight, family, as a commemoration to Madam C.J. Walker and her work, we are putting the call out to brothers and sisters all over the country. If you have a natural product for hair, skin, personal body care, we are here now to help market your product. MWM is now open for business, but not business as usual. And so we now have created a marketing team that we call M4. You've heard me talk about it before. Well, we're ready now because the so-called holiday season is approaching soon. And we know that our people do spend money around that time of the year. Now, we want to remind you that for November the 4th, we're asking our people not to spend any money if possible. And if so, definitely with somebody black. It is National Black Solidarity Day. That's right. It's 50 years old this year. And so we are now putting forth an assertive effort that our people all over the country make a clear statement that we have some control over some of what we do for one day. Don't spend any money. Black Solidarity Day. Look it up. A black man started it 50 years ago in New York. And there are some in New York that still observe it. But we want to now make sure that on a national level, we're able to observe it. So with that said, National Black Solidarity Day, November 4th, don't spend any money. Don't go anywhere if possible. We have enough time to plan accordingly. So please do so. And we're going to talk more about that a little later on. Okay, again, this is the end of or the last day for Black August, and we have some updates for you. Did talk about Bilal Sunni Ali earlier, and he mentioned to me that the Iman Jamil Alameen Media Week went very, very well. There is an activity coming up in October, a conference. And so that has also been extended, so we're going to give you some updates on that as well. But also, right now, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. and Sister Pam Africa and Sister Janine Africa are in Chicago with Chairman Fred for his annual street party. And so we're going to talk to Chairman Fred very soon and hear what was going on today in Chirac. And, of course, again, when we talk about political prisoners, certainly Sister Janine Africa just released, I guess maybe it's been a month now, after 40 years of being inside. And now she is out, and she is strong and continuing to do the work. So we will also get an update on what's going on with Brother Delbert Africa. So, again, that's how we're going to close out some of the last day of Black August. And we also have a few other updates for you in regards of a few other political prisoners. I'm hoping that one of our sisters will call me back shortly. I'll be able to take her call so that I can find out if there's any updates we need to convey to you in regards to some information that we've been waiting for in regards to one of our recent political prisoners. At any rate, again, we're going to get ready to talk to Sister Gabrielle, and she's going to tell you about the announcement that was made yesterday, the flag raising here in Philadelphia that was for the Trinidad-Tobago observance of their Independence Day, which in fact was today or is today. And also, we're going to talk a little more about some other kinds of things that we want to begin to have our people, you know, be more motivated in supporting. And that, of course, being the We Charge Genocide 21 project. Again, you know, we are literally now in the process of educating our people, setting up teams, setting up cadres nationwide to begin to address the issues of gentrification, mass incarceration, and other things that are relevant to crimes against humanity. Now, we received word the other day that the cop that was fired, that was connected to the murder of Eric Garner, they put a GoFundMe up. And in 2 days, in 48 hours, it reached over $100,000. Now, family, I dare say, MWM has always been independent, has never had a grant, never had corporate sponsoring. I cannot wait to see the response that we're going to get with the We Charge Genocide campaign. We have a GoFundMe, we have a Cash App, and we have a PayPal. This week, we are literally going to be pushing heavily for folks to become either an active member or support member of the National Black Human Rights Movement. Again, as we close out Black August, as we close out National Black Business Month, and now enter into what some people call the Labor Day. Well, we put in labor for sure. And last week, before the 400-year commemoration of our people, thousands was in Virginia to commemorate that. But, of course, no plan of action was released. So our response to 400 years of barbaric treatment is we charge genocide. Now, some use the theme 400 years of resilience. 400 years of resilience? Is that all we got to say? That's what they did here in Philadelphia. They had activities called 400 years of resilience, and that was a theme that was echoed, you know, all over the country. What the hell is that? 400 years of barbaric, inhumane, horrific treatment, and all we got to say is 400 years of resilience? I mean, that's embarrassing. So for those who, you know, got a little bit of other strength going on, we certainly encourage and invite you to support this movement and these initiatives. And hey, to me, this is going to really begin to really tell some stories about who is who and what is what for real, okay, because there can't be any excuses after 400 years of this madness that people aren't ready to step up and take action. And by the way, in case you didn't know, we plan to have a major assembly that we are asking the world to participate in support of Black human rights. Next August in Washington, D.C., we charge genocide. Heard it right here first, of course, on New Day. But again, August, and I don't want to reveal the date yet, but August of 2020, a mass assembly that says we charge genocide, and we're calling on the world community to stand with us on that day in support of us charging this government with genocide and us obtaining real justice and freedom. We'll tell you more about that a little later on in the program. But Sister Gabrielle is ready to join us. So we are going to go to her. And Sister J, I'm going to call you in a few moments, so stay near your phone. I know you just called me, and I couldn't pick up then. So while Sister Gabrielle is giving her report, I'm going to call you just to see if there's any updates you have for us. Okay, let's open up the line and bring in on our live line Sister Gabrielle Nicole, and she's going to tell you about family, what happened yesterday, a beautiful event here in Philadelphia with our Trinidad and Tobago brothers and sisters. And it was incredible. And now MWM, Universal Movement, is on the move. Sister Monira, I think, is also in queue. And we're going to hopefully bring her in as well shortly to talk about one of our new initiatives called Women Bond and Build 2. All right. Hey, Sister Gabrielle.
Greetings. How are you?
All right. All right. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to turn the mic over to you. I'm going to mute myself out for a few moments because I need to make a quick call. But please share with our family what you were able to bear witness to yesterday. And you got it.
Good evening, everyone. This is Gabrielle. And yesterday afternoon, we had the great the opportunity to attend the flag-raising ceremony here in Philadelphia at City Hall. And as Empress said, normally the Independence Day holidays are celebrated on August 31st, which is actually today, but because it was the closest day to the holiday and it was the end of the work week, we celebrated it yesterday. And what the purpose was to mark the occasion, which is 57 years, when Trinidad and Tobago became independent from Great Britain. And normally in that country, the day is formally celebrated by parades of the various protective services of the Queen's Park, Savannah, and Port Spain, and then Scarborough, Tobago, and their and national political leaders in attendance. And just like there, excuse me, please, just like there, here yesterday, they presented national, well, Wars to esteemed citizens, and Empress was one of them. She received a citation from the city of Tobago, I'm sorry, from the city of Philadelphia and Trinidad and Tobago also. And it was announced yesterday by Empress before we left the ceremony that next year, the first independent, she announced that the official Million Women March Universal Movement partner with Trinidad and Tobago, and that there would be the first Million Women, Black Women Rising Self-Determination, Reparatory Justice, and Restoration initiative will take place in Tobago in 2021. And again, that was at the flag-raising ceremony yesterday. They had different entertainment groups. They had three dance groups. One was a woman from India, well, who was from Tobago, but she did an Indian dance because they said that there is a strong Indian culture in Tobago. We had another dance with the Praise Dance Team, and then we had a group of young ladies who performed the traditional Trinidadian Tobagoan dance. There was food from Trinidad and Tobago. It was really delicious. We had the consulate from New York came down, and also a gentleman, his name was John LeVon, was the consulate. Then it was hosted by Richie Rags, who is a Trinidadian and is a designer, and he has a fashion warehouse in Massachusetts. We also got to hear from Miss Graves. I can't remember. I think her first name is Evelyn Graves, here from Philadelphia, who was one of the organizers of the event. We had there was entertainment as far as musicians were available. We heard the national anthem, and it was really a pretty decent event, and I really enjoyed being there and seeing the flag rising up for someone else, another country that's independent here in America. Just gave me hope that here in America, people will come together, and as Black people, we'll be able to have our own independence one day soon. And that was basically what happened yesterday afternoon here in Philadelphia.
All right, all right. Thank you, my sister.
And
I would be remiss if I didn't mention our brother Keith Hodge. Keith was really the person who, 5 years ago, he was the one that came up with the whole idea and concept that Philadelphia, that Pennsylvania do something cultural and artistic and so forth around the independence of Trinidad and Tobago. And so Brother Keith, for the few years, like, really struggled almost by himself to make something happen. And so now it's finally picking up, it's finally growing. And again, you know, he's the one. He was that brainchild. He was on our radio program a few nights ago also, family. So if you want to hear that interview with him, you'll find it, I believe, on Thursday's show. We did a special edition. Again, his name is Keith Hodge, and he has a long history of you know, working with African culture and spirituality. All right. Sister Nicole, Gabrielle, were you able to finally post something on Facebook so if folks are interested in seeing some of the footage, they can find it out there on Instagram or on Facebook?
Yes, actually I was able to post your announcement yesterday. I have to go through the other footage and see if there's anything short enough. I don't have the equipment to edit. If I have something that's usable, that's applicable to what we're doing, I will post it also. But I forgot to mention, which I had meant to, about Brother Keith Hodges. Yesterday, they totally ignored his presence, and Empress had to go up and make it known that he needed to be recognized. And only after she made it known did they recognize him. And I hadn't even realized that. And when Empress had done that, I was like, wow, that's really deep and really sad that the dignitaries, so-called dignitaries here in Philadelphia, were on stage and they were preening and prawning around, and you know, the man that was responsible for the whole thing was disrespected and ignored.
Yeah, and I mean, this is what people do, particularly if you let them, and particularly if you have someone, as it was mentioned finally yesterday, you know, somebody who's really humble, who is, you know, not an aggressive kind of person, you know, just very kind and generous. And that's what Brother Keith is. I mean, he's always been, as long as I've known him, always smiling. I've never heard him say a bad thing about anybody, okay? So when you have people like that, you know, these other people tend to want to take advantage of that. And so, you know, here he was the brainchild of that whole thing of, you know, and getting it started. And then they acted like he didn't even exist initially yesterday. And so, again, you know, we're used to this kind of stuff. We know that this is what people will do. And that's why it's always good to have folk around you who will not tolerate it. Okay. And so, you know, I've had a similar thing that happened to me over the years, and you best believe Sister Pam Africa and Sister Basima and a few other sisters was like, that ain't happening like that, you know? And that's the kind of spirit and energy that we need in getting one another's backs, you see? And so we're going to really kind of push that forward more because our people, for whatever reason, have become like, you know, very punkish, very, very like, you know, bootlicking, lapsadaisical, and, you know, and some other things. And in this day and age, you just cannot do that. You just can't, you know, not to the degree where these people will walk all over you and think nothing of it. So, again, you know, we will always make certain that the folks that are in our circle that we know doing the work, and not that they're looking for any kind of accolades or recognition, because certainly Brother Keith had never, you know, done anything even close to that. But still, I mean, you have to show people that you appreciate them, particularly when they're out here busting their behind, you know, to help us to move forward. We have to make sure that we safeguard, you know, who and what they represent, and that, you know, other people aren't able to jump in and act like, you know, they were the ones. Again, I've had that to happen. Unsuccessfully, thankfully for them, but, you know, nevertheless. But, okay, my sister, so I thank you again. And is there anything else you want to share with us before you go? Anything that you're working on that you want to give some insight and info into?
Actually, what I'm working on now is getting enough footage from when we're out and about and doing things that deal with the Million Women March and other places that have to do with the work that we're doing is filming so that I can have it put on the news channel that I've been given. I've been made president of the Global Union News Channel, and we've partnered with MWM so that different projects that we have, one of the projects that we're working on, and we'll be setting up a meeting with the sister soon, is there's a sister here in Philadelphia that's dealt with an awful lot of trauma, and she and her son want to bring to light the issues that the mother has gone through, and she's asked that the Empress come and sit down with her and learn her story and hear what's going on, and so we could talk about how this abuse and the trauma that we deal with as Black women in our community needs to be called out, how we need to bring it to attention so people know that they're not the only one. And then when I was first speaking with the woman, sister, I believe her name is Sister Wanda, I was like, I can't do this by myself. This is too deep. This woman's been scarred too much, and I need Empress to come in and help me because she'll be able to guide the sister into healing during the process. I don't want to just talk and bring up memories and have her go back and things not be settled, but then also for the viewing audience, they'll be able to see how to use some of the tools and resources that Empress will provide as we go through that process as well. And I think that's basically all I'm working on right at the moment, for once.
Okay. All right, my sister. Well, again, we thank you for all that you do, and we have a lot of stuff that's coming up. Again, family, I want to recap what Sister Gabrielle just mentioned, and that is we will be hosting our first Global African Women's Leadership and Empowerment Summit in Trinidad Tobago in 2021. Now, we, of course, have several other things that will be coming up prior to that. I mean, just this year, we'll be doing Million Women March Week for our 22-year anniversary. That's going to happen October 21st to the 27th. So a lot of our planning sessions and other things will be taking place for some of the major things that will be happening starting in 2020. So sisters, we advise you to get on board now. Become a member, support, or active, is now is the time. Because what we know often happens is once things get rolling, then people want to jump in. And I mean, and that's okay, but I can guarantee you it will all be duly noted, because the time for that kind of thing really is over, where people just get in the stuff once they see it's big and it's rolling and all of that. Well, you know, that doesn't impress us, and we're really, you know, trying to do something that's going to be substantive, qualitative, and have some longevity. And you can't do that when people are just focused on the event, okay? And so for right now, we really are encouraging folks that have a genuine interest, now is the time to connect with us. You can, of course, become a member, and I'll give you that information shortly. And if you want more information, you can just hit us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. And, of course, A Million Black Women Rising is what we're now bringing forward. And so you can send us an email to that address, which is ambwr2020@gmail.com. You can go to our GoFundMe, and our GoFundMe is the Black Human Rights Project. Again, GoFundMe at the Black Human Rights Project. And we'll be giving that information out again. The murderer of Eric Garner was fired. And within 2 days, they raised $100,000 for him. Family, all I can say is, we shall see. At any rate, thank you, Sister Gabrielle. Okay, let's do this. I want to, before we move forward and get ready to talk to Chairman Fred, I wanted to let everyone know, Sister Gabrielle mentioned about the project that we're going to do in Trinidad. Well, that was one part of it. The other part is known as the Women Bond and Build 2. Now, how that came about, that initiative is going to be throughout the U.S. How that came about is, in Trinidad, they do have something called Women Build. And that group works directly with, Housing for Humanity, whatever it is. Anyway, they do that in Trinidad, where women come together, they either build or refurbish or rehab a house, and so they did it this year in May, and a woman with children, you know, they provided housing for her. So we've been working on some things here, of course, in the U.S., looking at gentrification very, very carefully, understanding that for the most part, there's not a whole lot that we're going to be able to do about it, realistically speaking. Because, I mean, we're just not organized to go up against what's going on a national level and taking all this land, all these properties, and so forth. And we know that what happened with the banks and how they just swindled so many people. Houses went into foreclosure. Then you had these corrupt sheriff offices and other government entities that literally enable people to take houses from people. And this has been going on for years. So here we are at a state of gentrification that is so obvious and so visible. But you got to remember, that stuff has been in the making for 50 years. Okay? And so every major city, particularly with its black folks, is under a whole, shall we say, overhaul is getting ready to happen or is happening. Bottom line, what are we going to do? So for roughly 7 years now, MWM has had meetings, not just in Philly, but in Detroit, in Baltimore, in D.C., in Atlanta, in various places to talk about the issue of gentrification, property, ownership, homes, etc. So finally, we now have a response. And the response is, again, in Trinidad and Tobago, they have a project, Women Build. Now, Habitat for Humanity, that's the organization. Well, we don't want to come under them or anything like that. We always create our own stuff. And so we created this thing called Women Bond and Build 2. Now, the one in Trinidad is Women Build. Well, one of our sisters in Newark a few years ago came up with an idea and concept, and it was called and is called Women Build 2. And this was because she was interested in the construction building field industry. And so she started going to school to learn, you know, some of the various areas that is applicable to that trade, to that industry. And then subsequently started a business called Women Build 2. And because she was formerly incarcerated, she wanted this program to be applied to women who are formerly incarcerated and women that are violence and abuse survivors. Well, she's been working on that for a couple of years. So when we saw this piece in Trinidad, we said, you know what? This is going to be an ideal thing to connect with our sisters right here in the U.S. and have that model already in place. But we're going to apply it to gentrification. So essentially now, in beginning to partner with Trinidad Tobago, we're looking at obtaining properties, rehabbing some of those properties that would be specifically designed for formerly incarcerated, veterans, elders, and, of course, black women, particularly with children, okay? And get these darn properties all over the country. In Philadelphia, you're talking about over 100,000. We won't even think about what's going on in Detroit and other cities. And so this is a way for us to now regain some foothold in our community. This is a way to service our people. This is a way to now provide training both to our sisters and to the youth. Oh, yeah. These are some of the things we've been working on for several years, and this is why there's been so much opposition to what we've been working on, because it exposes a lot of other people who have had and do have resources, information, and other things, and yet haven't come anywhere near close to what we're talking about and getting ready to do. So we just wanted to put that out there to you, family, because we'd like to hear what your response is, how you feel about it. Again, we have seven cities that we're getting ready to meet with sisters that are from Trinidad, Tobago. First, as a start, because they already have a project, a program in Trinidad that they're already doing. We now are going to bring that, some of that, right here, and work with the country that is already doing it. And as such, also begin to look at having the country of Trinidad Tobago invest in the projects, the larger projects that we're looking at developing in this country. Okay, so that's some of what's getting ready to go down. That's what's getting ready to go on. We feel very blessed and very fortunate to be able to, you know, look at how we can at least put some kind of, you know, something into this machinery. Because these people are taking it all without any real opposition. And that's why I'm saying, you know, people talking about resiliency. Oh, I mean, what is that? What about resistance? When does that come into play? Well, here we are. That's exactly what we're talking about, you know, demonstrating and actually implementing some forms of resistance. Okay. All right. So with that said, we're going to open up the lines for you all. If you have any information or any events or any other kinds of things you want to share with us, you saw an article or something you want to share, or you just have a comment or a thought, we're going to open up the mic for you to share that with us as we close out Black August and National Black Business Month. You can press 1 now if you have something you want to share with us. And before we go to that, we want to let you know that our brother, Rakim Balogun, is, in fact, incarcerated. He has been taken from New York now back to Texas, and I've been authorized to at least convey that to you. There is not a lot of other information that I'm able to convey to you at this particular time, but that will be coming, forthcoming, it appears to be for tomorrow. We'll be able to give you some real, you know, some more concrete kinds of information, but right now some things are being worked on. But again, for those who are not familiar with him, he is considered to be the first that was actually arrested under that law called Black Identity Extremist. He was arrested for posting something on Facebook initially, and served, you know, several months incarceration for that. You know, didn't do anything. You know, I mean, there's no felony or no thing that he had done at that point. Just, you know, some things that were posted. And he, you know, they came and took him. Okay, so we need to be very clear about what's going on in this country, about what it is, in fact, when we talk about freedom of speech and all those things. Yeah, well, you better understand that that has its place now, particularly when we're dealing with issues of homeland security and other kinds of things. So, again, we should have some updates after tomorrow on what's going on with our brother. But again, we have pretty much declared him as a political prisoner. Okay? And so, again, we'll be able to clarify and verify some other things after tomorrow. With this being, again, the last day of Black August, of course, that is one of the things that we wanted to share with you in that regard. The other thing that we want to share with you in terms of it being Black August is Sister Sawatu was with us a couple of months ago. She shared her story and information about being incarcerated after she was threatened by someone in Detroit. Excuse me. And she, of course, is licensed to carry and so forth and so on. Well, anyway, she ended up being incarcerated for several months. In fact, she was pregnant. Okay. Well, the good news is now that she's no longer on probation or whatever it is. She's free now. So hopefully she'll be joining us in October for the Million Women March 22-year anniversary commemoration. And by the way, we will be doing a special tribute to Sister Janine, Jeanette, and Debbie Africa, who, of course, were all released, in the past few months after serving 40 years of incarceration as a result of the first MOVE consultation that took place here in Philadelphia in 1978. Again, Debbie, Janine, and Jeanette Africa we're going to do a special tribute, a dinner, and some other things in October as a part of the Million Women March 22. And we will also convey, again, our bonds, women bonds, and Build. We'll be giving information about that project because that initiative is also going to assist sisters in, having to get money for their bail. It will also assist women that are incarcerated. And by the way, family, if any of you know of a sister that is incarcerated that does art, either poetry or visual art, we want to feature them for October. We want to do an art exhibit of sisters that are incarcerated. And so I'll be giving you more information about that shortly as well. Okay. Again, if you need to contact us, you can feel free to do so by emailing nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can reach us at our new A Million Black Women Rising email address, and that, of course, is amwr2020@gmail.com. Okay, so it doesn't look like anyone has anything that they want to share with us. So I'm going to ask you one more time before we get ready to call in Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. And again, Sister Pam and Sister Janine are with him as we speak in Chicago, in Chirac. Oh, one other thing before we go to them. I've been talking to Sister Tawanda Jones a lot this week. And family, you know, the murders, the killings that are going on both in Baltimore and in Philadelphia, by the way, is really reaching some high numbers right about now. As a matter of fact, we just got word today that two black women in their cars in West Philadelphia were shot upon. We don't have much of the details at right now because it apparently happened today, but one of them did succumb to being shot. And so, again, you know, the details are sketchy at this point. We don't know why or anything like that, but there were two women in their cars, and someone drove up on them and shot several rounds in the car with one sister, literally, you know, dying as a result of that. Again, we don't have a lot of information, but the point being, we've been getting a lot of reports of shootings, both here in Philadelphia and in Baltimore. As a matter of fact, a young brother, 16 years of age, was shot down just a couple of days ago. And so, you know, and that was a quadruple shooting, by the way. Okay, somebody again in a car. I mean, it's on tape in a white, car just drive by and start shooting. So, you know, we don't know who it was at this point. And so we can't just, you know, surmise that it's, as they say, black on black crime and all of that stuff. But what we do know is that our people are dying in the streets. And the question has to be, what are we talking about doing? Now, here in Philly, there have been several rallies, you know, supposedly with some black men who are, you know, speaking out against violence. Well, whoop-de-doo. I mean, you know, if you lived in any city for a good 20, 25 years, I know you've seen that. All right. But for whatever reason, the continuation of any action for real is not happening. It has not happened. We need to stop playing. And I know there are folks that are really, you know, meaning to want to do things, but here's my point. If there are people who have been saying this stuff for 20, 30 years, and they're getting grant money for it, or they're getting some other political side chump change or whatever, and for the most part, it's a conversation and a rally and a conference, then folk need to really look at that carefully, okay? If you don't have an institution that you can take our people to do A, B, N, or C, then all I can say is, you know, we need to really wake up and grow up, because this thing has increased over the years. So obviously whatever folks have been doing is not working. These anti-violence, anti-this and all that. Anyway, those who are ready to do some other things, now is the time for you to step up. I dare say, we had a brother on last week from Detroit, and, you know, you could tell that there's a seriousness in what he's talking about. Now, you may not agree with all of his tactics or any of his tactics, or you may agree with all of them. But the point being, to hit the streets in the way that they're talking about, it's not a kumbaya moment. It's not. And that's unfortunately what most are doing and talking about, you know. And so, you know, let's hold hands and I don't know. Anyway. We're going to move forward nevertheless, okay? And again, the focus is self-determination. That is one of our remedies as we speak. It is about self-determination, having our own schools, our own institutions, our own culture, our own whatever. And anybody that's not trying to at least support that, as far as I'm concerned, is suspect. Bottom line. Okay, let's get ready to go to our live line again, and we're going to get ready to talk with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. And before we do, I want to also remind everyone that there are several telephone conference calls coming up. Again, I did speak with Bala Bilal Suni Ali, who, of course, is one of the original members of the Republic of New Africa. And I asked him if he would assist us in having some telephone conference calls to talk about the history of the Republic of New Africa. And the reason, one of the reasons why, is because when I was talking with some younger sisters who were saying, you know, we should do this and we should do that and we should do this and we need to do that. And I'm like, yeah, it's some folks that, you know, they kind of did that and are doing that. And, you know, that was like 40, 50 years ago. And they, you know, it's still there. So what you're talking about is not new. It's just that people don't support it. But my point is that, you know, for many, they never even heard of it. And so we need to not necessarily start from scratch, at least understand and recognize the work that has already been done, and then go from there. But some of our people, a lot of our people don't even know that it existed, because in most of our communities now, you don't have a Black United Front or a chapter of the Republic of New Africa or, you know, other more progressive groups. They're not in our communities anymore. Okay, they've been very strategically faded out, some of it intentionally by the enemy. Anyway, point being, Baba Bilal has agreed to assist us in some dialogue with some of the original folk from the Republic of New Africa so that we can get some history on how, when it started, why it got started. We just began to introduce people to the African Creed, the new African Creed that they developed several years ago. We just reviewed it a few days ago, myself and a few other people, as we're developing the Black Code. Yep, we're working on a Black Code, Black Code of Conduct and Ethics, so that as we proceed, we can do so with some levels of accountability and principles. Anyway, tell you more about that shortly. All right, let's go to our line, and we are going to talk with Chairman Fred, I think. Hopefully. Let's see what we got here. Okay, and again, family, if you all, if someone has something they want to share, I would suggest you hit one now so that we can hear your views and opinions or what have you, or forever hold your peace. All right, hold on one moment. We're going to dial Chairman up here. And, okay, that should do it. Okay. Yep, there we go. Okay. All right. Well, looks like we might have to wait a minute, a little bit longer. All right. Not even going to voicemail, which is a little strange. So I'm wondering if I dialed the right number, because normally it at least goes to the voicemail. So I'm going to disconnect and hold on one moment. Okay. I'm going to disconnect that number for now and try again. Shortly, I need to check the number, family, so bear with me, because normally it goes directly to the, I'm going to try another number real quick, so hold on 1 minute, let's see. Okay, I'm going to try something else real quick. Because that might not have been the correct number. So we're going to try this one.
Hello?
Hey, Sister Pam.
Hold up. Hold up 1 minute.
Listen, I'm trying to get you in Fred.
I don't know where he just went to. Chairman
okay,
Fred.
Okay, it's because, yeah, he's a put. We're live.
This is Sister, Sister Filet.
Yeah.
She said we live, so she want to talk to him so he can put down his business with that fundraiser address.
Yeah, he knew we was calling, but we've been.
Oh, he got 1,001 things going on. He did 1,001 things going on. It's not personal, and he's running on fumes.
Is this Sister
Janine? Yes. How are you? How are you?
All right. All right. Well, we got you, and we're on live, so we know you got some updates for us.
I just want the fundraiser address. Anybody know it? Fundraiser address. Yeah, well, the update is we're trying to get a lot of people involved in this. You know, we've been on shows and going to places we can and telling people that this is real important to save this house, because to save this house is to save this community, and it's necessary, and we want everybody to pitch in, give whatever they can. If it's a dollar, give it, because it's needed. You know, this is something important that cannot be let go. We need this. We need this. We need this. Hold up. We need this. It's a filet live.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Okay, right on. Empress, you there?
Chairman.
It's been crazy. We at the Hampton House on a countdown, trying to make it happen. Yes, indeed. So, as you probably know, we on Cloud 1000. We got, I want to, first of all, kind of semi-apologize to Philadelphia. We didn't get Mr. Conference and Pam Africa up here, and Janine in Africa. So we've been up here rocking and rolling, back to back, putting out these cases and the campaigns.
Yes, yes. Chairman Fred, look, because a lot of people don't know what's going on. Because so recap for us and let our family know what's happening. Why you are all doing what you're doing right now?
We on the countdown. Let me get the back part up front. The banks talking about taking and selling the house that Chairman Frey after grew up in this September 9th, you know what I'm saying? Matter of days. We have been engaged in a campaign for quite some time to save the house that Chairman Frey and Hampton, of the Black Panther Party, the leader of the largest chapter of the Black Panther Party, the house he grew up in. It's right down at the elementary school he went to is across the street. This is on the same block where they gave him the case. They framed him and said he robbed the ice cream truck and gave ice cream to the children. Is we have been the Black Panther Party Cubs have been in here for about a year. We have, you know what I'm saying, we have been transforming the community, heightening, making a concrete connection to who Chairman Fred Hampton was, as well as to the work that we're doing now today. We've been holding the banks off. Couple of times. In fact, they said due to the community support, you know what I'm saying, they held up, but they now, they pushing the line, they talking about coming forward. We got to GoFundMe up, GoFundMe.com/SaveTheHamptonHouse50, GoFundMe.com/SaveTheHamptonHouse50. We trying to raise $350,000, you know, so to bring the building back up to code, and amongst other things, you know what I'm saying. So we don't know how much people saying, will the bank take something? We're going to see we're working with September 4th, you know what I'm saying, to approach them. But in the meantime, between time, we are moving nonstop on pushing this campaign. People been coming through. Yesterday was the birthday of Chairman Fred Hampton. He would have been 72 years old had he not been assassinated December the 4th, along with Defense Captain Mara Clark. So, you know, we wanted to put excuse me, Empress.
Yes, Chairman.
Yes. Our intention is to give him a late birthday present. Present him with a late birthday present. You know what I'm saying? Get this house secured. Yeah.
Right. So, again, Chairman, give them the date. Let our family know that this is urgent, urgent. And
this is urgent. This is code red.
Okay.
It's urgent. The flyer for today's and yesterday's events, I got a notice on there about, you know, with the auction date that they got on the banks had the auction date. I get that on the flyer so people can see how urgent this is. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to wait to September 7th to 8th. We want to be able to raise this money. You know what I'm saying? We need to go about September 4th at the latest, you know what I'm saying, deal with this here. Again, GoFundMe.com/SaveTheHamptonHouse50. GoFundMe.com/SaveTheHamptonHouse50.
All right. All right, Fred. So So you had some activities yesterday and today?
Yes. We've been hitting the ground. We've been on the radio shows. We've been here, there, and everywhere. We got a couple of more events. We're speaking tomorrow. We had the thing. We went to the house of Chairman Frere, was assassinated at. We went to the wall on Madison, California, where the mural of him is at, and we brought it right back to his house, his childhood home. You know what I'm saying? We here. You know what I'm saying? We here. We got forces, you know what I'm saying, from the indigenous community, from all over the world, the brothers and sisters in the community, they, you know what I'm saying, they've been coming here back to back. So it's moving. It's moving.
All right. Okay, so now, well, I'll give out that information one more time. Where should people go to make their donation?
GoFundMe.com/SaveTheHamptonHouse. GoFundMe.com/SaveTheHamptonHouse50. GoFundMe.com/SaveTheHamptonHouse50.
All right, family. So you all heard it right here, live and living color. Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., Sister Janine Africa. Where's Sister Fred at, Chairman Fred?
Around here organizing somewhere. We on the block passing. We out here passing out flyers. We everybody criticizing each other. When you get some sleep? I mean, the energy is up around here. We out here. We passing out flyers. We on the block. We out here barbecuing at the Hampton House. We feeding the people, serving. We out here. So she might be down the street with some flyers, talking to somebody in the community. We have been nonstop out here.
I know that's right. Well, listen, before we let you go, Chairman Fred, because I know you all are really, you know, hitting it hard. Before we let you go, I just wanted to get Sister Janine if there's any updates on Brother Delbert.
There you go. Let me find Janine. Where's Janine go? Janine, come back down here. Let's see. Janine? Okay. I don't know. Any updates on Delbert? All right. Okay. All right, no problem.
Hey, Sister Filet.
Yes, ma'am. How's my sister?
I'm doing good. Feel good here with this, with the Hampton family, and it's nothing but a lot of love and energy and the children, everything. It's just a wonderful event and just shows how important it is. It's just such an important thing. This is history, you know?
Yes.
Very well.
Yes. I can hear it in your voice.
Yes. It's just like one big family. And it like really showed me that the importance, because this is what the house represents.
That's right.
And it's really needed. It's really needed when you see how they work with their kids. You know, it could be a good influence in the whole community, and it's needed. It really is.
All right.
You know.
We're going to definitely make sure we get that information circulated. We got some other people in Chirac, so we're going to make sure they get it.
Yeah. The update on Delbert?
Yep.
His health is improving. He's not out of the woods. You know, so we're not relaxing and feeling like everything's okay. We don't know what the medical issues are. We're not sure. He's going to do some testing. But, his condition is better. Better, all that 72 hours that they put out.
Right.
He done passed that. He's in good spirits. He's staying strong. And he's hoping that he can make it out and see the doctors of his choice. On the outside, he's scheduled to see the parole board September 11th.
All right.
So we want to see what they're going to do, because there's no reason why he should not be out. Really, they know what they're going to do before he walk in that room. So they don't need to play no games. They know what they're going to do. He see him the 11th. There's no reason why he can't be out by the end of the month. There's no reason. None whatsoever. We're proof of it. So they can get him out of there. They know the situation. So they need to just go on and let him go so he can come home to his family and get his health taken care of. You know, and once again, we just want to thank everybody that has helped us do this. Everybody. We really appreciate it. We couldn't have done it without you and all other people that have been calling and putting the word out there. Everything y'all did helped to make sure that them people took care of Delbert the way it was supposed to. That's why, because of y'all. So we thank you all from our hearts, and we can't tell you how grateful we are. But, yeah, September 11th, you're supposed to see the people.
All right.
And we, like we say, bring Delbert home.
All right.
So,
of course,
yes.
our family, our listening family can still continue to write those letters and calls and all, you know, things like that to still keep the pressure on.
Exactly. No, you can't relax. You can't relax with them. You got to always show them, push them to make them do what's right. They're not going to do it on their own. Not going to do it on their own, you know. And the people have not failed us. They've come through every time. So,
right.
I mean, I just don't know what more to say except thank you.
Sister Janine, we love you. We love the family. And give my sister Pam a big hug. I ain't seen her in a couple of weeks, so give her a big hug for me.
All right. You know, Pam, you can't find her. She's everywhere. And no different now. She's everywhere. Everywhere. Yep.
All right, now. I'm going to let you all get back to what y'all doing. And, hey,
all right.
Doing that work, and we're with you all the way.
Thank you so much, and tell everybody they got to do all they can. If it's just a dollar, send it, because they're trying to take this house, and that's like trying to take out the Panthers altogether. We can't let that happen. You know, they helped us. We want to help them. All right, now. Thank you so much, Sister Filet.
Thank you, Sister Janine. All right, get back.
All right, now, on the move, everybody.
On the move. All right. Okay, family, you all just heard it. So the city is trying to take the Hampton House. And you need to go to the GoFundMe at Save the Hampton House. That's what you need to find, okay? All right. Okay, there we go. All right, family, so again, we're going to give you the information a little later on, but it's always something. You know it's always something. And we just are blessed to be able to kind of stay abreast of what's going on. But again, the Hampton House, the house that Fred Hampton grew up in, is now getting ready to go up for sheriff sale. So they're all out there in the streets now, you know, really continuing to do the work. Every year, Chairman Fred has an event in recognition of his father's Earth Day. And so this weekend, of course, they did that and are also working on making certain that they can save the house. Okay, we're going to prepare something on our end that we will send out that others can send out. So please feel free to do so once you get it. And we'll keep you updated during the course of the week as things develop in that regard as well. Okay, we're going to go back to you all. It seems like we have at least one person that has some information they want to share with us. So we're going to go to caller 8521. And 8521, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment, A New Day. A521, your mic is open. Okay. Going, gone. Okay. Moving right along. Hold on one moment. Let me just disconnect that. Okay. Okay, there we are. All right, family. So, again, you know, go to the GoFundMe page. Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. is making that request of us. And also, I'm going to also send out information on Brother Delbert so that you will know where you can write to. If you are not on our email list, then please email me at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, and then we will make sure that you get this information. It will be the information that is needed for you to send your letters or whatever other kind of correspondence that they have listed, phone calls or what have you. You'll get that information so that people can continue to make certain that the parole board or whatever entity that needs to get, you know, some kind of insight into the fact that people are in fact watching and also, you know, making certain that they do the right thing, to encourage them to do the right thing. And so, again, if you are not one who are on our email list, which means you get regular emails from us because we send stuff out pretty much almost daily, but then certainly, you know, a couple of times during the week. At any rate, if you're not on that e-list or on our text list and you do wish to get that kind of information from us, particularly the two things we just mentioned now, again, email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. All right, family, we are going to close out. We are going to do a short session for tonight. Unless somebody else has something else they want to share with us, we're going to do a short session tonight and get ready for some other things that we have coming up. Again, the We Charge Genocide campaign is now in effect, phase one. We did make the announcement that we will be doing a major summit in Trinidad for African women worldwide, and this will be a leadership and empowerment summit. But leading up to that are several other major activities, of course, here in Philadelphia. From October the 21st through the 27th, there's going to be a lot of different forums, planning sessions, and other things as a part of the inauguration for A Million Black Women Rising. We're also preparing for the We Charge Genocide Mass Assembly, which will be a world assembly. We will not issue the date yet, but I can tell you it will be in August of 2020. The U.S. One will be in D.C., but we're also asking various countries to also join us on that day as a part of solidarity. If you are interested in starting a Black human rights cadre in your community, or you want to be a part of the Malcolm X Legacy Collective, again, you need to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. There is a telephone conference call meeting coming up this week. And again, if you're not on the on our e-list or on our text list, then you might miss that announcement. So again, we strongly advise that you send us an email indicating that you are interested in receiving, you know, these updates that we're going to be providing this week. One last thing, I want to remind you that September is Sickle Cell Awareness Month. Now, what we found is that most groups and organizations in our community do not talk about sickle cell anemia. And what we also know is that that is the one disease that primarily affects Black folks. So why there is not more discussion about that particular malady is kind of baffling to me. But nevertheless, we are going to make certain that we do bring that information out to you. So starting next week, we will be giving reports and other kinds of information about sickle cell anemia. MWM is committed to optimizing our health awareness for our families and communities. And so we are now moving into our movement phase whereby, you know, you're now going to see what kinds of activities and plans of action that we've been working on over the year. So again, starting next week, we will begin to talk about sickle cell anemia, what it is, what are some of the symptoms, what is now some of the kinds of things that are being produced to help to alleviate some of the pain, and of course, that's being looked at as a possible cure. Now, it's important that we become more aware of these things because it's affecting us the most out of all the peoples on the planet. Those of a little, you know, of more melanatedness, shall I say, are the ones that this particular disease tends to attack or tends to hit. And so there are a few things that are really important that our people know, and that is two people that have the traits really need to know that, like say, for example, folks plan to get married. It would really be in their best interest if they suspect they might have the trait or one knows that they have the trait. The other one needs to at least get tested, and there are reasons for that. And so, again, we just want to create a greater awareness about, you know, what is going on, because if you've ever seen a child with sickle cell, It's really, really heartbreaking. And, you know, in my own personal family, you know, situation, I've had members who have, in fact, you know, died from sickle cell anemia. So, again, we need to do better in our community with at least providing information. And certainly in this day and age, that's something, you know, pretty easy to do. But again, we need to also be abreast of what's going on in terms of treatment, in terms of other things, because you best believe that other people are making plans. And they're making plans to come up with medications that will be either more advanced in dealing with the pain, because it's a very painful disease. So there's a lot of research going on, but best believe, because we know how the pharmaceutical company and how the other people make money off of us, we know that eventually they're going to come with something, some other things, let's put it that way, to benefit, to profit from. So, again, we need to be more aware of that so that we're more aware of if, in fact, there are any Black or African countries or whatever that might be doing that work, so that we can kind of be more connected to that end of it. Again, we'll talk more about that during the month of September. Again, it is Sickle Cell Awareness Month. All right, family, again, we're going to close out early tonight. We have a lot of stuff that we are working on and preparing for. We are working on the Awakening the Black Child Genius Conference that's going to happen here in Philly the 26th through the 29th. And then on the 29th, we have our first Vegan, Vegetarian, and Natural Foods Fest. Yep, we're going to close out the conference with that activity for the whole family, the whole community. So again, from the 26th to the 29th, it's going to be a focus on Awakening the Genius of the Black Child, Black Homeschooling, Black Alternative Education, and Child Care. That's what those few days are going to focus on specifically. And then on the last day, there'll be some sessions that will also cover that, but it will also cover more of the health for the entire family and community. So if you want more information about that, you again can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can call area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. If you are interested in learning more about how to, you know, transform from or move from, you know, eating meat or eating fish you want to go to the next level, or you just want to get healthier, or you just want to know, get some information. Also, there's going to be service providers for Reiki or reflexology and herbology and so forth. So, again, from an information standpoint, that's where we're at with it. We're not trying to tell anybody what to do or how to do it. Beyond a certain point, we just want to give you information, and you do whatever you want to do with that. Okay, that's our part. We want to just provide information, qualitative information. All right, family, we're going to close this session out, and we are going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'adenhotep. Oh, I forgot. Madam C.J. Walker, again, before we close out, one of the things that we are issuing here in Philadelphia to City Council, is that we want to see some kind of plaque or something in recognition of Madam C.J. Walker having her first beauty culturalist convention here in Philadelphia. Now, there is a plaque at the Union Baptist Church, and it is in recognition of Marian Anderson. That is the church that the great Marian Anderson attended. So there is a plaque outside of the church in recognition of her. However, there's nothing that gives any indication that on August the 31st, 1918, Madam C.J. Walker had over 200 women that she trained at that church as her, what they were called, Walker agents. And this is historic, because this is where she began to build her empire. And so, again, and she was very adamant in saying she was going to train our people, our women. Okay, and she had her own product. So again, family, please, if you know of someone that has an excellent product, because again, it has to be quality, tell them to give us a call or send us an email. We want to prepare a catalog for next year that features various products from brothers and sisters all over the country. That's going to be a specialty that we're focusing on for now. We want natural products that are for the hair, skin, and personal body care. Any part of the body, natural, good, quality products. Because for next year, we're having something very major, and we'll be able to really, really market those products. So, again, our email address, nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can call area code 267-636-3802. Please feel free to make a donation, again, for the National Black Human Rights Project. Again, you can go to GoFundMe, and it is the Black Human Rights Project, but you have to put the dash between all the words. So it's, after you go to the GoFundMe, it's the-black-human-rights-project, okay, at GoFundMe. Or you can use PayPal, and if you use the PayPal, our email address for National Black Human Rights is nbhrproject@gmail.com, okay? Again, nbhrproject@gmail.com. And lastly, we take that Cash App. And again, if you don't want to necessarily be a member or, you know, whatever, again, your donation of any type is certainly welcome. Again, Cash App, you can Cash App us at $HOT1111. Again, $HOT1111. If you know of a Trinidadian Tobago organization group, please let us know. We want to reach out to them. We are ready to move forward with this project. Again, Women Bond and Build 2. We're looking at obtaining properties that our women will assist, and brothers too, will assist in rehabbing these properties. Our first ones are going to be to help our people. After we get this thing rolling, we'll deal with other major projects in terms of affordable housing, affordable housing, and other kinds of things that we want in our community. And we'll be telling you more about that next week. So again, we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there will never be any real peace, any Hotep, until there is truly, truly justice. We're moving into a Ma'atic epoch, and that means a period in time for the Ma'atic power and principles. So with that said, if there's no justice, there certainly will be no peace. All right, family, until next week, we thank you again, and we say promote you to the Shenda. Together, we shall win. Peace out.